It's time to talk baseball. As we welcome back to the program, Chris Hatfield of SoxProspects.com. Chris, good afternoon.
What's going on, Rich? It's Friday. It's baseball season. Life's good.
Absolutely, other than those last couple of innings yesterday. But we've moved on from that. We're fine.
Yes, I'm an optimist. I'm trying to convince myself everything's fine. Nothing's broken. It's all going to be good.
Now, you were down. You spent some quality time in Fort Myers. Are you still an optimist about the state of the Red Sox minor league system after that visit?
Had to go there first. Yeah, I mean, I'll admit, Rich, you know, we knew going in it's kind of slim pickings. You know, the system, as we've been talking about really for a couple of years now, it seems, when we've chatted. You know, since Dave Dombrowski has come in, he's come in to try and put a winning team on the field right now in Boston. And between, you know, the trades that he has made and, you know, more positively, the number of promotions that the team's had. I mean, you look at the lineup, it's almost entirely homegrown with folks like Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, Andrew Benintendi, Rafael Devers, et cetera. That's going to thin out a farm system. It's not a deep system. For us, after spending 5 days in Fort Myers last week, you know, there's a clear number one in the system in left-hander Jay Groom. Michael Chavis was still injured and not playing in games, so we didn't really see a whole lot of him. And unfortunately, despite the fact that we were down there for 5 days, we didn't see the number three prospect in the system, right-hander Brian Mata. And what we're hoping is just an unfortunate scheduling occurrence. You know, it's not a lot of high-end talent. That said, there's some nice sleepers down there. You know, it's not a system bereft of talent entirely. And, you know, they've done a pretty good job in recent years in trying to restock the system. So, you know, I think there's reason to believe this system will be trending up. And the Red Sox do have a little bit of time before they need to rely on their farm system to replenish the Major League Club with some young talent.
One of the guys on your top 10 prospect list who's had his time in the big leagues, what's the future for Sam Travis in this organization?
You know, it's interesting, Rich. We didn't see him until the last day of camp because while we're down there, you know, we're really kind of focusing on Salem and Greenville and rookie ball guys because, you know, our scouting staff is all up in New England and they'll see Portland, they'll see Pawtucket. But on the last day, I got to stay behind, or actually we saw BP at the park that morning, and it was the AA and AAA guys. And so we finally got to see a little bit of Sam Travis's tweaks to his swing. He's joined the launch angle revolution. I know the Boston Globe recently ran a whole section kind of explaining that. So for folks who don't know what I'm talking about, they want to seek that out. But basically, long story short, tweaked his swing a bit to give him a more uphill swing path to try and put some more balls in the air. He had a really line drive oriented swing that, you know, he's got plenty of raw power, but he never tapped into it in games. As much as he wouldn't say BP because he was spraying line drives all over the field. Early returns looked pretty good. Obviously, he had a good spring in terms of hitting home runs, but, you know, as far as balls in the air in Major League spring training, he wasn't actually hitting that many more balls in the air. So we'll have to see how this translates. I mean, these things don't happen overnight, so I would expect to give him a little bit of time. I think he's a guy who could contribute. He you know, certainly has plenty of pop, you know, if he's healthy again this year. You know, the hit tool should be there, and I think he's really determined to improve after what was a down 2017, both in Pawtucket and in the majors, frankly. The one question is, when will he get his opportunity? You've got both Hanley Ramirez and Mitch Moreland on the Major League roster. I can't imagine with both of them healthy, Sam Travis would come up. It's a lot to carry three first base only guys on the roster. That said, they're also going to try and get Travis a little bit of time in left field in Pawtucket to give him some versatility, too. So, who knows? I think he's a guy who could contribute at some point, especially if injuries warrant it. And he certainly seems like a guy who's making the adjustments to try and be able to do just that. And I'm intrigued to see how those adjustments work out.
Did you get a chance to see Jay Groom's teammate from Greenville, Tanner Houck, your number four prospect?
Yeah, I actually got to sit on him on Tuesday in his start. And it's kind of interesting. You know, you figure Tanner Houck, who's a guy who, you know, was drafted last year in the first round out of the University of Missouri, so an SEC school, and the SEC is regarded as one of the best conferences in the country. He's a guy who pitched for Team USA for a couple summers and had one of the best fastballs in the draft, and it sounds like from all the reporting, they're more or less completely remaking it. They're tweaking his mechanics, they're tweaking his pitch repertoire. You know, his primary pitches when he was drafted were a sinking fastball and a slider, a kind of a wipeout slider, and they're basically trying to convince him to throw some more four-seam fastballs up in the zone, which is kind of the, you know, pitching counter to the whole launch angle thing with the hitters. You know, if they're going to be able to go down and lift balls low, well, then throw it high at their eyeballs, and they can't catch up to it. And they're trying to teach him a changeup and a curve. He's certainly a work in progress. The mechanics were a little more streamlined to the plate, which was really good to see. He had a lot of left-right in his mechanics last year. He used to throw at kind of a low three-quarters arm slot. It's probably come up to about a true three-quarters. He throws the ball hard. You know, he touched 97 when I saw him, sat in the mid-90s with the four-seam fastball, still threw the two-seam fastball in the low 90s, and that slider was a wipeout pitch. But, you know, clearly was working on the curveball. He threw it a lot in his last inning of work to try and just get some more reps in with that. I think he, like, tripled up on it to one batter. You know, he's a little bit more of a work in progress than you would think for a first-rounder drafted out of an SEC school. You know, we have him projected for Greenville, which maybe is a shade conservative for a first-round college pick, but I think he's going to at least need a couple months there to try and work on his mechanical tweaks and, you know, be able to know that he can rely on the fastball to get guys out while he's working on his other new pitches. If he does well there, midseason promotion to Greenville, not out of the question. But he's going to have to work on those secondaries to prove that he can start, as opposed to maybe being, you know, if those don't work out, he certainly at least looks like a guy that could fill a late inning role as a setup or setup guy or a closer further down the line. But, you know, definitely a little bit of a ways to go before we know which way that's going to wind up going.
We're talking with Chris Hatfield of SoxProspects.com here on Downtown. Chris, who are some of the guys who are moving up fast on the charts and maybe leaping ahead of where they were projected perhaps a year ago?
Well, you know, it's funny. As far as standouts, obviously Groom was one. He looked like the guy the Red Sox thought they were drafting a couple years back. He's not really a pop-up guy by any stretch. He's been probably the number one prospect in the system since they drafted him. But, you know, he kind of stood out as being the top guy. But some other guys who stood out in the system, you know, looking back, we were intrigued by some of the younger guys, frankly. A couple guys who got projected to Greenville are first baseman Pedro Castellanos, who he was in the Gulf Coast League last year as a 19-year-old, hit .339. I'm pretty sure he led the Gulf Coast League in hitting. He's got some pop. You know, he only hit a couple of home runs there last year, but he certainly got some raw power. If he could tap into that in game, he could be a really good hitter for them in a system that doesn't have a whole lot of power, frankly, at this point in time. He stood out as a pretty interesting guy who will be moving up rankings. Another guy we've got projected for Greenville is infielder Everluis Luzada. He's from Venezuelan, played in the Gulf Coast League and a little bit in Lowell last year as an 18-year-old. Hit .314 in the Gulf Coast League with not much pop at all, only slugged .396. But, you know, he looked like he could put a charge into some balls, and he was playing all around the infield, including shortstop, which I don't think he really did very much last year, if at all. So if he can stick it short, he's a guy who's pretty interesting, who we'll have to keep an eye on. One other guy I'd mention is Darwinson Hernandez. He's a left-hander. Pitched in Greenville last year at age 20. He'll be moving up to Salem this year. He can dial it up to sits in the mid-90s, tops out at 97. His thing has always been command and control. You know, he walked a lot of guys when he was younger in the system, but, you know, that's something he's working on last year. He kind of took a step forward to maybe having only slightly below average control and command. If he can take more steps forward with that, that'd be good. And apparently at the end of last year, he started working in a slider that has the potential to be a wipeout pitch. We didn't really see it in the one outing we caught down in Fort Myers, but, you know, if he can work in that slider, he comes out of kind of a three-quarters to low three-quarters arm slot. He could be a really tough on lefties in a relief role at the very least, but we think he's got a chance to start. Again, if he can refine the control and get those secondaries going with a slider and maybe a, you know, show-me changeup as a third pitch, if you can throw that hard from the left side, that's a very, very intriguing pitcher. He's probably going to jump into our top 10, I think, when we redo those rankings next week for the start of the minor league season. He's a guy to keep an eye on, especially because he's Rule 5 eligible at the end of this season. So they're going to need to add him to the 40-man roster. Might put a little bit more pressure on his development, although that said, if he spends all year in Salem this year, Portland next year, and then maybe he's in Pawtucket ready to go in you know, kind of a 2020 time frame, that's fine. He'll only wind up using you know, two or maybe his third option at that point, be ready to come up and do some things in the major leagues. Those are the guys who really kind of stood out to us. But worth noting, they're all in the low minors. So, know, this is a team that doesn't have a whole lot in Pawtucket or Portland ready to come up right now, but we're going to have to be patient, I think, for some of these young guys to come up.
Yeah, who are a couple of the guys that we might want to keep an eye on for any folks in this area who journey down to Portland to see the Sea Dogs?
Sure thing. I mean, to me, the kind of clear guys that we've got projected for the Portland roster as their top players, we've got Josh Ockamy, the big first baseman from Philly, projected to return to Portland. He played there for 31 games last year and really kind of an aggressive promotion from Salem. He was hitting fine in Salem, but nothing that kind of screams needing to move up. They moved him up to Portland at age 21, and he hit pretty well, 272, 372 on base, had three home runs in the 30 games. Got a lot of raw power. He's a big boy. You know, he's listed. I got my roster right here, and they list him in their most recent roster at 6'1", 227, but just well-built. I mean, he's not, you know, this isn't, you know, Pablo Sandoval weight. This is good muscular weight. He's got himself into great shape. I want to see what he does in a return trip to Portland. He's a guy, again, not a lot of pop in the system. If they can get a little bit of pop out of him, that would be really interesting to see what happens with him, Sam Travis, even Michael Chavis in terms of potential first baseman. You know, again, kind of blocked by both Hanley Ramirez and Mitch Moreland in the major, at the major league level. Pitching-wise, Mike Schwarren's going to come up, we think, from Salem. Last year, he split between Greenville and Salem. He made 16 starts with Salem Red Sox at the higher level. He was actually one of the top strikeout pitchers in the minor leagues last year, at least in terms of strikeouts per nine innings or strikeouts per inning, I guess would be the easier way to put it. You know, really kind of intriguing guy. He was drafted out of the University of Maryland in 2016 in the fifth round, but they gave him a slightly above slot bonus. Sits low to mid-90s. Sits low, no, low 90s, sorry. Touches the mid-90s, works in a slider and a changeup. Still might project best in a bullpen role. We're not quite sold on him as a starter yet, but if he can replicate some of the success he had last year in A-ball at the double-A level, you're going to have to start taking him seriously as a starter, kind of not unlike what left-hander Jalen Beeks has sort of done for himself, where coming up we thought, you know, okay, reliever, 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 and then when he comes out and does it in Portland and then moves up to Pawtucket and does it too, you got to take it seriously as a potential starter. So could be an interesting season for him as he tries to show that he can stay in the rotation and contribute at the major league level. I project him as the ace of that Portland staff. So those are the two guys I'd really keep an eye on. You know, there's some other guys at that level who are going to be worth watching. Chad De La Guerra, who got a non-roster invite in the infield. Mike Matheny's son, Tate Matheny, will be there as a center fielder. Kind of an interesting guy, no standout tool, but might profile in a backup role in the majors. Should be an interesting team in Portland this year, and, you know, who knows what reinforcements they might get from Salem as well. We've got some interesting guys down there, too, who can move up quick. So definitely a good year to catch the Sea Dogs out in Portland.
Always fun to talk with you, Chris. So we appreciate you making time for us, and we look forward to catching up with you throughout the season.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks a lot, Rich. Always
Thank
a
you.
Pleasure.
That's Chris Hatfield, SoxProspects.com here on Downtown.